It's the morning for props. That's all I'll say. Can you pass some of those back? These are just to put in your Bibles. And we're going to work through them. We'll maybe get through some of them today. And we're going to do them in our ladies and our men's meeting. And we're going to speak about them in depth, about how to access God's kingdom. So it's going to be a great time. Just let me get all my pieces of paper. I have that much many bits of rubbish all over the place. Sorry. Yeah. I don't think I'll have them. I'll have my Bible. Right. We'll pray. Yeah, is everybody in? Right, I'll just pray. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I just pray that you'd come. I pray that this song that we sang today, that you would open the eyes of our heart. I pray that you would come with all your power and your love this morning. I pray that you would reveal to us some truth that will help us to understand what it means to live in the heavenly places, Lord, today. And I pray that you'd show us how to access them in just by your power and your love this morning. I thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you that you're a glorious God and you come at work in our hearts. And we just want to say, Holy Spirit, we invite you to this place. We just thank you that you do lead us, you do direct us. And we just pray, lead us to the throne room of God this morning. We pray in your name. Amen. Right, so I need my able assistant, Sonia, to come out. And first of all, I just have this sense. To access God's kingdom, we really need to know. Pete started to talk about it briefly this Sunday morning that he was talking about our identity. And so you might think that actually I've got a really good understanding of my identity. And you maybe have. But I want to speak from the two sides this morning. So I want to speak on this side. We're going to write some things on here about our identity, who we are in Jesus Christ, about our position in Christ on this side. And on this side, we're going to talk about the reality of the difficulties of just going through our Christian life, having trouble that comes with our minds and our body, and how accessing this point of living from all the benefits of who we are to affect here. So we're going to start here. So we're going to start with this. So Sonia, if you come and write for me. Howard, will you just read this scripture? Howard's going to read 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come.
Yeah. So it is absolutely, it's not a very big piece of scripture, but I think what God has been doing with us and speaking to about in the church is changing our belief system to understand who God is, what he's able to do, and who we are and what we are able to do. So when it was really interesting how Dominic starts this service off by about this trophy. And I had this great sense, because he obviously comes to speak to Dave about whether he should take on this, doing this training. And Dave prays for him, and he prays himself. And he just trusts God that the Holy Spirit, just like you were saying, is going to lead him. And that's what he did. And he came just really into the fullnesses of the promises of where God is. But I just really feel for us all today that God wants to tell us all what we're able to do in his name. And sometimes we see ourselves of all the things that we're not able to do and all the things that we are. We dwell a lot on our feelings and we dwell a lot on negative things when God wants to take us and he wants us to live from this point. So in this point, if you just write a new creation, Sonia, and just start writing some of these things. So as I speak, so I'll stick you on there. So we're this new creation. So when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, when we understand, so we've heard all this wonderful preaching from Pete and from Dave about the gospel, about the cross, about what Jesus did on the cross for us. And I don't know about you, but that's kind of brought a real reality to back to me again. When Pete was spoke briefly on this thing where he was describing the crucifixion, he was describing the flogging that Jesus went through, he was just describing the mocking and the where Jesus was spat on and he was flogged, so his kind of skin was hanging out. I don't know what you felt like at that point, but it kind of should get you somewhere emotional. That Jesus did this for us, that God loved the world so much that he gave us Jesus. Jesus died so we might be completely free and forgiven. Yet we are given all the benefits of being this new creation. We've got 100% of everything, but it's whether we really believe this. So we have got 100% of the righteousness of Christ. It belongs to us because of what Jesus did. So we are right with the Father now because of what Jesus did. We have got 100% of his holiness. We are 100% loved. We have got 100% of faith, 100% of victory, 100% of healing. We've got 100% of worth and 100% of access to God. And I think that we know this. So Sonia's writing it all down, who we are. But it's how do we live from that point? So for all of us, we go through difficulties in life. And I just felt like God was wanting me to tell you this. So as I was praying, I really felt in the spirit that Jesus was just wanting me to remind you of your worth. So I don't know how many of you sometimes run by your feelings, that you feel actually, well, I'm not very righteous. I'm not very holy. I don't feel like my life's got a lot of victory in it. And you run from that point. Well, Jesus doesn't want us to run from about feelings. He wants us to know fact and he wants us to know truth. And this is the truth of who you are in Jesus Christ. And we have to live from this point, live from this point of understanding. It don't matter if you don't get them all down, Sonia, but it's just the gist. Do you understand the gist? If you don't believe this, because it's about a belief system, it's about what the God of heaven has done in sending Jesus Christ to die for us so that we might be these new creations. If you do not believe you are these things, you're really saying what Jesus did on the cross was not enough. So when you're feeling very unworthy and you're feeling like you're running off your feelings, you're saying the cross wasn't enough. Well, let me tell you, we can't add any more to what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. He gave everything for us. And he gave everything for us so that we'd be these new creations. So we're going to go to this side, Sonia, if that's all right. So, Howard, would you read out this Romans? And I'll just have a quick... You know, I've got my teeth sticking to me. My teeth sticking to my mouth.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is not spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Yeah. So here we have, so this is our identity. This is our position of who we are. So this is what happens when we are saved. In our spirit, we get totally made perfect. So when you ask Jesus into your life, when you make him Lord and Savior, when you decide not only to believe, but to follow, because that's very, very important, because there's a lot of people out there who are believing Christians without the following. So you believe Jesus, what he did for you at the cross, but then something happens. You understand the demand and the cost of following Jesus. And with following Jesus comes obedience to God's word. And it is vitally important that we know that. And so we know this happens in our spirit, in our inner man. So this happens, you are totally made right. So when you come in here on a Sunday morning, you don't have to come with your head bowing down. You don't have to come feeling any condemnation. You don't have to feel whether you've come in feeling it's a good week or a bad day or whatever, or how you've come in, whether you've come in arguing, whether you feel absolutely rubbish. It's about who you are. You come in with the confidence that God has given you, because God, Jesus, has made you right. So when you come into church, when you get before God, when you get into his presence, you are right with the Father because of what Jesus did, not about ourselves, all because of what Jesus did on the cross. So you don't come in like Jimmy said about when he first came in here, and he said, I don't feel guilty. You don't come in with guilt, because guilt has been done away with. When the curtain was torn in two, Jesus said, it is finished. All that guilt and condemnation, when we're a new creation, it was finished, it was done away with. And so you are totally right with the Father. So when we come into the presence of God, and why I'm telling you this, because it will help you to worship. It will help you to praise. It will help you when you come in, you're not having to think, well, actually, God, you know what it's like. I've told you many times. What do? They get straight down on the knees in the Anglican, in the Catholic Church, and they repent of all that they've done. Well, you don't have to do that. You can come into God's presence. You are fully holy. You are fully righteous because of what Jesus did. You cannot earn anything. You cannot earn his love. You cannot earn his approval. He gives you 100% of his approval all the time. I can't tell you how much he loves you and he approves of you. And I felt that God said to me in the spirit when I woke up, remind them of their worth. So you were worthy of Jesus dying for you. He loved you that much that if you had been just one person, he would have done that for you. You must have an understanding of how much God loves you. When I was on, when we was away in Athens, because it takes a little bit of time. You know, if you've been brought up, depending how you've been brought up, when you've got the Father God loving you like that, that you don't have to earn anything, you don't have to earn his love, you don't have to earn his approval, it's a big thing, and it has to affect our minds and hearts. And it is a hard thing to take in, because sometimes, because of the way we've been brought up, the things that have gone in and on in our lives, we don't always feel that sense of understanding Dad's love. But this love is extravagant to you. I can't tell you, I just can't express to you how lavish it is. His love for you, that gave everything when he gave Jesus to die for you, to make you redeemed and right with the Father because of Jesus. And somehow, somewhere, so when I was away in Athens, this is what happened to me. My mum loved me, so I am not saying anything, and lots of you knew my mum. But my mum was always running around, and everybody knows who knows what she was like. She ran around loving everybody else. And so I was kind of always vying a little bit for attention. And I thought I'd dealt with all. Do you know, don't we? We all think we've dealt with things. And then why is it when you get into God's presence or the Holy Spirit comes, just like Freddie was saying, how the Holy Spirit leads you, and I'll maybe get onto that, but I maybe won't. But how, when the Holy Spirit starts bringing things up in our lives, that he reminds you of something, and somebody came over and prayed with me, and they prayed with some things about my past that I thought that I dealt with some of those things. And he just said, God's gaze is upon you. And he started praying for me. And the next thing I thought, I need to, because I was in this meeting where I needed, actually, my role was to be praying for some other people. So I said, oh, thank you. Like, I was like, kind of like dismissing him somewhere to say, like, thank you for praying for me, but I need to get on to pray for other people. And he said, no, you're not praying for anybody else. Jesus has just caught your attention and you've got to catch his, and he's just speaking and having a relationship and speaking his love to you. Well, let me tell you, all the glory of heaven descended on me. Dave will tell you, he came back into this meeting. I was like, I don't know what happened because it was bizarre, but I was like this. I love me. I really love me. And somewhere I understood the love of the Father that I could actually love myself. And so sometimes there's things about myself. So like when we go to these conferences, I always can't, I've been doing this thing. Sometimes I apologize for my Yorkshire accent. And it was like God saying, down with that. It was like, you've just got to love you for being you. And so this morning, I just want to tell you, God brought that revelation, because this thing that happens when we're a new creation, it isn't about some knowledge that we get to know, because that will not affect us, that will not transform us. It is about relationship. And I cannot, if I stress this enough and enough, it's about intimacy with the God of heaven. God wants a relationship with you. Jesus has made a way that we can have a relationship with the Father because of what he did. But it's not a relationship that is a standoff. It's a relationship that's near, that's close, that's intimate. And so that it's a relationship where you connect. You connect heart to heart. You connect, you just have a connection somewhere. When we were singing and we were worshipping, how did you feel? I'm asking you, how did you feel? Were you just singing songs? Were you just going through the motions? Or were you connecting spiritually? Because this is about a spiritual realm. This is about that you are now a spiritual person. This is now that, can we just have that one Colossians? Will you just come and read this before I sit on there, Sonia? Because this is a great piece of scripture, and I want you to keep this in your mind. If we have it up on the screens, that'd be great. Is it not working, trust? Is it up? Yeah.
Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the right hand. Set your heart on the things of God, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, your life is now hidden with Christ in God.
Yeah. It's absolutely a wonderful piece of scripture. It talks about seeking and setting your mind in the heavenly places where you've been raised. And somewhere we have to do that. We have to seek and set. We have to pursue these heavenly places where Christ is seated. And I just think the importance of that, and I'm going to go come backwards and forwards in a minute. So this side of us, so we have these kind of two things going on in us. So we've got this place where we're totally made perfect. We've got the righteousness of Jesus belonging to us. We're totally a new creation, yet we go over here. So the truth is the reality of that, how we struggle. So Howard read out the Romans 12. And so how we struggle with our minds and our bodies. So our minds are being renewed on a daily basis. So I don't know where you are with that. I don't know if you allow the Holy Spirit to keep renewing your mind on a daily basis. So in your mind, I would only say to put your hand up. So we're going to call this our condition. But in your mind, this is where all the struggles with our fears, our anxiety, our darkness, our depression, whatever it is for you, we've still got a struggle. So you've got Paul say, like, with still, we've prayed and prayed for you, Paul, And we've still got Paul. Paul is in this struggle of his body still not working. But if he lives from this point, so just on there, Sonia, if you just put a condition on there and just put struggles with our mind and our bodies. So, like I say, this is where we are sometimes. So we struggle with things, and I don't know how you do, but I've shared with you quite a few times, like God has set me free from this eating disorder that I've got, and I'm just going to share with this one thing so it might help you with some struggles. So I think sometimes when we share some personal testimony that it helps you to understand what I'm saying. So I'm not talking, this is just about something that happened last Christmas, but I have them continually. I'm always having to renew my mind. So this is what happened to me. So David come here to do the Christmas experience, and he was doing a practice. And so some of you might remember this thing because you won't have known why I came, but I was not meant to be doing anything. So I was at home. I don't know what had happened to me, but because we're spiritual, but we're also living in reality, and we're also got this flesh that we're meant to be crucifying, putting off. So here I was. I felt overwhelmed, and I can't actually remember why I felt so overwhelmed, but I did. And I'd gone to eat something, and I've suffered from bulimia, and I went to go be sick. And so I just felt like God say straight away to me, it was for freedom that I set you free. You don't have to return there to a yoke of slavery. So when I'm telling you this, that I've got 100% freedom, it's on there, and I've got 100% victory. At that point, I had to tell myself who I was. I had to inform myself, because in reality, I was one thing, but this is where I knew that I was having to tell myself, this is who you are, you're a child of God. You have been brought out of that place, and you need to tell yourself. So I needed, in my inner man, in my spirit, I needed to tell myself to stop it. Because if I'd gone down that slippery road of continuing in that, I wouldn't have been in this victory that God set for me. So what I did is God said to me, get in the car and go see Dave. So I got in the car and I came round, and Dave was in here and he was doing his rehearsal. And he just said, what are you doing here like that to me? And I said, I'll tell you later. And so he just prayed with me, because sometimes we need to be accountable. We fall into all sorts of things. Our minds go down some terrible places. For you, it might be different, but also I get fears, I get anxieties, and I have to speak to myself the truth of who I am in Jesus Christ. And I do that out loud. So sometimes, like when I'm getting a bit of a wobble about things, so I've got a little bit of thing about money. So sometimes I get this thing, and I don't know why, but I get, I wouldn't say, oh, well, I have to be truthful. So God said to me and spoke to me, and he said, you have the fear of money and the love of money. And I thought, oh, God, I don't think I have the love of money. And I felt like God, he said to me, you love the feeling of the security that money gives you. So you have a fear of it, but you love the security that money gives. Well, when we do that, we're saying that God is not enough, because God is the one who takes care of us. And so I believe that I do exactly according to what the Word of God says. So I do me and Dave do the thing that we tithe, we give to God, we give above and beyond, we love other people, but it was still rooted in there. And so I got down on my knees and I repented of it. I repented for the fear of it, and I repented for the love of it, because God doesn't want us to be like that. And so we all have something. For you, it might be something else. You might be anxious about things. You might be anxious about jobs or home or situations, but it all comes from somewhere. And God just spoke to me yesterday morning, and I felt like he said to me this, and it's so funny. He said, get rid of the little suckers of pride. Pride and control. Well, you know this word, sucker. You know, you say, oh, your little, the sucker. I don't know. You see, it's a bit of a derogatory word, I think. But when I started talking to Sonia, she started telling me about, like, you get suckers on a tree. And suckers on a tree they come from a being damaged somewhere, about a damage that's going on. And also, if you get, am I right in saying, so it has, does anybody grow tomatoes? No? Anybody here? Well, when my mum and dad had a greenhouse, on the tomato set, you get these little things that go in and you've got to snap them off. And I think they're called suckers as well. And what they do is they don't, you've got to get them off so they give the nutrition to the plant, so to make it grow healthy and your tomatoes to come. And I just felt like God saying, get rid of these little suckers of pride and control. So we try, and I don't care who it is, we want a little bit of control ourselves. So whatever it is, it's somehow we're not saying that the God of heaven is our protector and our carer. Somehow we try to look after ourselves. Somehow we try to fix ourselves. And God says, you can't fix yourself. You know, we get into the problems of the mind and we try to fix it with a solution ourselves. The only way that we can do anything is get down on our knees and get intimate with the God of heaven, because we all struggle. I want to tell you that. So Pete was talking about us being perfect. We are perfect in position, but we have struggles that are going on in our lives. And you're all like sat there thinking, am I talking to myself? But do you? Put your hand up if you have some struggles that you're working through. Sometimes it's about rejection. Sometimes you don't feel worthy. Sometimes there's just a list. Sometimes it's depression for people. They're going to such dark places and they feel that they just can't get out. But if you live from there, and if you live on your feelings, I want to tell you, you will go down. You will keep going down and down and down. You will sink into despair. When Jesus is saying that he wants to give us, he's given us hope, he's given us victory, he's given us freedom, he's given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. He's given us every bit of power that we need to live a victorious life. He's given it to us all. We have to tap into it. So we have to tap into that. And so we have to live from the heavenly places. It says, if then you have been raised, if you are of Jesus Christ, it says, seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And so one of these things, which I'm just going to cover, is the thing, if you have a little look on your piece of paper, is worship, word and prayer. You're all right, Sam, you can sit down. Is worship, word and prayer. Let me tell you, I'll just explain to you. You will never, ever want to pursue worship with God unless you're living from this place. Because if you're living from condemnation, you don't want to come into the presence of God. If you're feeling unworthy and you get into that place, you don't want to go running into God's presence. It's something that happens. It's what the enemy does to keep you out of God's presence. And so somewhere we've got to believe who we are. If you believe who you are, let me tell you, you'll run in worship to Jesus. You will run there. And pursuing Jesus is the greatest thing you'll do. So worship, I just was speaking to Molly. I just want to say to you guys, to Molly and to Chris, how amazing were their testimonies last week. They were truly amazing. Do you know, they like poured their soul out. They said, Molly just shared about all these anxieties and these feelings. Well, if Molly had been continued to live from there, let me tell you, she would have been maybe in some very, very desperate place, I would say so. She was having to keep going back to the hospital. They were checking her heart. It was palpitations. All it was anxiety attacks that she was having. But if she continued not to press into God, she would have been in a desperate place. And that's what we do. We become desperate when we don't tap into the things of God. And for Chris, what he did, he just sought Jesus. He had a few little problems. He came to see me and Dave. Me and Dave just spoke all the truth of God over him. Let me tell you, there was transformation that took place. When God speaks, when God tells you that he loves you, that he treasures you, that you are worth all his love, let me tell you, everything changes. Because maybe if you haven't had a mom or a dad that's told you how precious you are, how beautiful you are, how treasured you are, you don't really believe it. But when their testimonies came, they just came with such glory that morning, touching, because it was transformed lives because of a relationship and an understanding of this, understanding of who they were in Christ. And so this thing about what happens with that, it brings adoration out of your mouth. And so when we get to cell groups, when we come to things, we can't help but praise. When we come on a Sunday morning, we can't help but declare. If you've ever been in a meeting with Jacob, let me tell you. So even come to the prayer meeting tonight to hear Jacob pray. Because let me tell you, when that man prays, he knows that he's come out of darkness, from darkness into light. He knows the old has gone and the new has come. He knows that he's righteous. He knows that he's loved. He started praying this morning. I thank you that I'm loved by heaven. I'm loved by all my church. They're all my friends. And he starts like praying like that. I know, God, you're in heaven and you love me and I couldn't be any more loved. Because he knows. He knows who he is in Jesus. And it comes flowing out of his mouth. So you never hear Jacob talking from all his feelings. You never hear Jacob, let me tell you. And he has some struggles. That lad has some struggles as well. But you never hear him how he's been rejected by people and gone for jobs time and time again. And they've rejected him and they've rejected him and they reject him for who he is. Well, let me tell you, they don't understand because he belongs to the God of heaven. He's precious. Never mind the trophy. We'll give it to Jacob. Jesus gave him the Jesus gave him the trophy when he gave his life to Christ. He gave him the precious, most precious gift. He said, Jacob, come and be with me. Come and be with one of my kids. Come and be seated at this wonderful feasting table. And because Jacob doesn't do this thing, he doesn't live from this place of lies. Because we can't live from those table of lies and feelings. We've got to live from the truth of who we are and that we're feasting from this glorious table. And if you live from lies, let me tell you, the devil will take you out. And he will tell you untruths in your head and you will listen to the things he says and you will believe them. And so when God says, I'm coming to change a belief system to tell you of who God is, what he's able to do, who you are, and what you were able to do, let me tell you, a glorious transformation takes place. And when that glorious transformation takes place, you'll want to come to Jesus and worship him. You'll actually want to come to Jesus and give him your all. And this thing of control, you'll let it all come down, let me tell you. You'll let control come down in your life. I had to let control come down in my life. I was trying to fix myself all the time and I was doing a bad job of it. I really was doing a bad job of it. Let me tell you, if you're struggling in an area, you ask God, have I got control over that area? Is the control there? And if God says, let the control go, you need to let it go. You need to listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying today, because sometimes we're too busy protecting ourselves that God can't do it. And so let him come in. And then when we're prideful, it's like when you're prideful, you don't need a revelation. You don't need Jesus to say anything to you. You read the Bible. What you do is to gain a little bit more knowledge, but you don't read the Bible to come and be intimate with him, to know a little bit more about God and a little bit more about what God's saying about you. You don't do that. You just read it to gain a little bit more knowledge, so you just look a little bit more puffed up and, you know, a little bit more arrogant. And it's no good, because it's about relationship. And this is what, when you come to the worship, you come to the Word of God. Can I say something to you? What we do is this. We feed, sometimes this is what we do. We feed our mind on the wrong things, and we starve our spirits from the wrong things. Right, have I got that right? So you feed your mind on the wrong things, and you starve your spirit from the right things. And that's what we do. We starve ourselves. So, like, if we need air, food, and water to physically keep alive, we need worship, word, and spirit. Worship, word, and prayer to be spiritually alive. And if you don't do it, if you go from 1 week, if you see my Bibles, all my Bibles have got things sticking in. I've got things dropping out. I write all over it. If anybody picked them up. I lost it in Dubai, and somebody sent it from Dubai back to England for me. And they said, we opened it up. Yeah, I write all over it. I write prayers in it. I read it. It's like the very breath for me. It's like the very heart of beat of God. So when I read it, it makes everything in my soul draw closer to God. And if you don't do it, if you don't worship, and prayer is all just, prayer isn't hard. Prayer is just talking to Jesus. Prayer isn't difficult. Prayer's just loving Jesus. That's all prayer is. It's having a relationship with him. But you don't do it, let me tell you, you'll spiritually starve. And God doesn't want us to do that, because he loves us. He loves us so much. And I just got this. I'm going to end with this, because I think I've gone on, and we'll pick up the rest when we're in our meetings. But I just had this sense in my spirit that God wants to put some confidence back in us. And I don't know where you are today, but he wants to tell us what we're able to do and what we're capable of doing. And let me tell you, we can do anything. Because we've got Jesus Christ living in us. We've got the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. We can do anything. So when the Bible says, greater things will we see and do in his name, we've got to believe it. We've got to believe we've got all the power that we need because of what Jesus did on the cross. So today, I just feel, I have a sense in my spirit that's what we want to do. I felt that the Holy Spirit wanted to give us confidence. And if you've been feeling in that place where maybe you need somebody, you need Jesus to hand you a trophy today, because maybe you don't feel like you're worth very much. Maybe you need to understand that's what Jesus is doing. He's saying, I love you, well done. He's saying to you, you're worth dying for. And maybe you just need an understanding of that today. And we're going to sing, I'm going to ask Teresa if that's all right. We're going to sing this song, Before the Throne of God Above. Because in that song has got every single truth that we need to absorb in our spirits today. We need to absorb it in. We need to take it in. We need to breathe it in. Because before the throne of God above, we have a strong, a perfect plea. We have got a great high priest whose name is love. Whoever pleads and lives and pleads for us. So what I want you to do, just while they're coming up, if you feel, and I don't want you to stay in your seats today, if you feel that you want to do some crossing over today, and you want to get rid of some of these lies that the enemy's been telling you, that you have, you've been running from your feelings, not from the truth. And if you feel that you need some confidence and the Holy Spirit to give you some confidence of who you are in him, I'll just quickly move forward, or just move these things, because God Sonia drew this beautiful picture today, I don't know when you did it, Sonia, about us going into these deep waters. And Jesus just wants us to go deeper with him. And so wherever you are, you know, Jesus is saying, just come deeper, just draw deeper with me. And if you just want to say to the enemy, today I've had enough, and this is what I'm doing, I'm believing all the truth of who I am in Jesus Christ. I'm believing that Jesus, you died for me and you made me right with the Father. You've given me everything I need to be able to say to these lies to be gone. And if you want that today, just come forward as we think, because I'm just going to pray for people before you. So if there's anybody who feels you know, that just like some prayer, I'm just going to pray with you before we sing this song.